We were talking about spiritual stagnation last week, and we finished the message focusing upon the things that we could do to stimulate renewal, to being renewed, and actually had this vision of Ezekiel as the last two slides in last week's message, but I thought for time constraints that I didn't use either of them. So I'm going to finish with a more thorough treatment of Ezekiel's vision. Living water. In chapter 47 of the book of Ezekiel, we read, "Then he brought me back to the door of the temple." Ezekiel's in the middle of a vision, and a man is leading him around. "And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east." So it's coming from underneath the door. The temple faced east, for the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. "And he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand," he had a measuring line in his hand, "he measured out 1,000 cubits." A cubit is about the distance between an elbow and the tip of the finger. They used that as a measurement back then. The first ruler was about anywhere, depending upon the size of the man. So you see some discrepancy, but 1,000 cubits, "he brought me through the waters. And after 1,000 cubits, the water came up to my ankles, ankle deep. And he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. And the water came up to my knees. And again, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And once again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, 'Son of man, have you seen this?'" Meaning, are you understanding this? "Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and the other. And then he said to me, 'This water flows towards the eastern region, and it goes down into the valley and enters the sea.'" And the sea he's referring to, by the direction the temple faced and the direction the water was flowing south, could have only been the Dead Sea. You know, the Dead Sea is the lowest point below sea level on the earth. And so nothing lives in the Dead Sea because of its extreme salinity. It's very salty. "And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed." The waters of the Dead Sea are healed. "And it shall be that every living thing that moves wherever the rivers go will live." But it's... "There will be a great, very great multitude of fish because these waters go there. For they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim, and they will be places for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. And along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all trees of all kind used for food. And their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. And they will bear fruit every month because the water flows from the sanctuary. For their fruit will be for food, and their leaves will be for medicine," or for the healing of the nations. So this vision is about the living water of God's Holy Spirit. And it's, the vision began with him noticing that the water flowed from underneath the threshold of the temple. So I'm going to ask you, what does this picture represent? What's the vision is to communicate something to Ezekiel. The picture represents the source of the water. So what's the source? What's behind this door of the temple? Well, the temple is the place where men encounter God. Let me correct something. The temple is not the place where God lives. God does not live in any temple. Even Solomon, when they built the first temple, was told, you can't build a temple to contain God. God lives in the highest of high. There's nothing on earth that could contain Him. He's made the universe. So what is the significance of the temple? Well, the temple is where God allows His presence to meet men who are seeking Him. They want Him, and He allows them to experience His presence. So where is this living water flowing from? It's flowing from the place where men meet God. That's where that is. Now, where does God live now? Or we know in the highest of heavens, but where is His presence now as it relates to you and I? He is in us. God dwells in us by His Spirit. Now, that is His presence dwells in us by His Spirit. So now, if God is in us, and that's where we are encountering God on a personal level, and Ezekiel saw water flowing from the presence of God and to the sea, and it was, the water was so lively that it actually healed the waters of the Dead Sea. Can we think of something that our Lord Jesus said about rivers of living water? You remember Jesus said, he that believeth on me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. So this was an early picture of the Holy Spirit, God's presence in us. And this temple in particular, because I've called it the place where men encounter God, through the prophets, this is what the Lord said about His temple. My temple shall be called a house of, can you fill in the blank? A house of prayer. Oh. So the present where God allows men to encounter His presence is in the place of prayer. From the place of prayer, we can encounter God on a personal level. And as we encounter God in the place of prayer, His Spirit will begin to flow from within us. And as it begins to flow from within us, not only are we touched by it, but others around us, wherever the water flows, things live. And it brings about an abundance. This is such powerful water. It's called living water. And it's able to sustain large numbers of fish. It's able to sustain large numbers of trees. And it's interesting about these trees. Did you notice that it said they bear fruit 12 months out of the year? That's remarkable. It's because of the type of the water that they're having. So why do some Christians burn out? Why do they dry up? The answer is they are not encountering the presence of God in their spirit and experiencing the Holy Spirit's filling as they encounter God there in prayer. So what do we need to do if you and I want to begin to encounter God in this way? If we want to have a personal encounter with God, we need to learn to walk in the Spirit. Because look at these various things that the Scripture says that a believer is to do. A believer is to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Walking in the Spirit. Well, your spirit is your innermost part. It is from your inner man that needs to govern the rest of you. You know how a lot of men live? A lot of men let their natural man, their appetites, their desires, their emotions rule them. But a person who's walking by the Spirit is allowing the Spirit within them to govern the rest of them. They become spiritual because they are led by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans, those who are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So a believer is to walk in the Spirit. A believer is to worship in Spirit. You remember when Jesus met the woman at the well and she realized he was a prophet because he knew that she had been married 5 different times and the person she was currently living with wasn't even her husband. So she perceived right away that he was a prophet. So she asked him a question. Hey, you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place you're supposed to worship at the temple there. Our fathers say that this place, we're supposed to worship in this place. Which is it? And you remember what Jesus said? A time is coming when men are going to worship in Jerusalem or here. Because the time is coming and now comes when God seeks for men who will worship Him where? In spirit. In spirit and in truth. We must learn to worship in spirit. Because without the Spirit, spiritual things are foolish to the natural man. They're not easily discerned. A natural man is not comfortable trying to pray. Many of us try to pray in the natural man, and it's not a rewarding or wonderful time. It's awkward. It's silent. We get little out of it. You know what prayer, the word prayer brings about for a lot of people? Guilt. I discovered this when I was at a Bible study with a group of men, and they were asked to describe their prayer life, and every single one of them said they feel guilty about it. Not one of them expressed this wonderful joy that they experienced in prayer. You remember the song, and we've said this before, but do you remember the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from the world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. And I've oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. That's what it's supposed to be. But unless you experience praying in the Spirit, because notice that's what another thing a believer is to do. We need to learn to pray in the Spirit. That's where we encounter God. God is Spirit. And when we enter into praying in the Spirit, we experience God. Now, some people, if they hear the word praying in the Spirit, they think that means speaking in some kind of unknown tongue. Not necessarily. Praying in the Spirit means allowing the Spirit to guide you in what to pray. What needs to be prayer? Paul said in Romans that we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I can tell you this. I can be honest about my prayer life. I will often, in seeking to prayer, begin to pray, and I'm seeking that in the Spirit part. I begin. I'm aware that I've got to somewhat transition from being in my natural self. Because you know what we are? You know what these physical bodies and these wonderful, wonderfully fascinating human minds are? You know what they are? They are very busy. Muy ocupado. I mean, they have a lot of activity going on, and some of the reason we have difficulty ever getting in the Spirit because we are not still enough in our natural man. You somewhat have to learn to make your natural man still and develop a sensitivity to the spiritual man. And it takes time. Now, we shouldn't be surprised about that. It takes time. Relationships take time, don't they? You know how it's sometimes awkward when you're first getting to know someone? What do you say? How do you respond? Should you talk? There's some moments of silence as you're getting to know someone, but the more time you spend with them, the more natural it becomes. You almost can read each other's thoughts and minds. And in human relationships, oftentimes, beginning on a surface level, just meeting each other for the first time, progresses to where you become very emotionally connected, so much so that you want to actually live the rest of your life together. An emotional and mental connection goes to physical connection, and a beautiful life together is had. It's a progression, a progression from a beginning to a deepening, ever deepening relationship. And as a believer begins to walk in the Spirit, worship in Spirit, and pray in the Spirit, you know what they begin to do? They begin to hear the Spirit. Now, this is what throws some people off. But hearing the Spirit is very important. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16 about the Holy Spirit. Speaking of the Spirit, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, they had been with Jesus 3.5 years. But he was saying that some of the things that he wanted, that they needed to know, they weren't ready to hear. So he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, for he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Do you see how many times the word he will speak is there? The Holy Spirit will speak. But we have to tune into his frequency. Remember those old radios? Some of you don't remember. If you're old enough, you remember those old radios with the little dial and the little antenna. And it's interesting the contortion the person could do to try to move over here and get a signal strong enough to get a decent quality sound. And it is, things have so vastly improved. When you first had your cell phone, the flip phone, it looked like Star Trek. You remember the first thing that happened when you opened them up? What was the first thing it said? Establishing connection. And sometimes the connection was pretty poor. Now that still happens depending on your phone carrier. You're in the middle of a conversation and what happens? You drop the call because you're not getting a strong signal. Prayer is very similar spiritually. Unless you have established a very sound connection with God, you'll drop the call. You'll be out of the Spirit. You won't hear what the Spirit is saying. This is something that must be developed. Just as they develop the quality of the receivers in these electronic devices, a believer can develop the ability to hear the Spirit. And you can be led. You can hear his voice clear. Now the thing is, what are you listening for? That's what throws people off. What are you listening for? Sometimes people have expectations in prayer that throw them off. Because, for example, you're coming to God. When you draw near to God, are you expecting to see him? I want you to think about it with me. A lot of people would say, man, if I could just see God. Why is the Bible, or why in the Bible, do we read that God calls himself the invisible God? whom no man has seen, nor can they see. Do you think God could be seen if He wanted to? So think about it. Does He want you to see Him? Does He need you to see Him to know He's there? No, as a matter of fact, one of the first commandments of the Ten Commandments. The first one is, thou shalt worship only the Lord thy God and serve Him only. And what's the second one? Thou shalt not make unto me any graven image. Don't you even try to make a likeness of me. There's no way you could do it. If God showed Himself to us, you know what we'd be trying to do? We'd be trying to draw the picture. We'd be trying to take a snapshot. We'd be posting Him on Facebook. God is so great that you cannot. You don't need to encounter Him in a physical or sensual way. He is spirit. And your encounter is going to be spiritual. Where is His presence? It's in your innermost being. So where will you hear the Spirit? Inside. Internal. Do you need an audible voice? No. Let me tell you what this... We even use the phrase to show this. It's just so loud in here, I can't even hear myself. You hear a thought? You hear a thought. How does the Holy Spirit speak to you? He guides you into every true thought. The thoughts of God are impressed, and you recognize the thought of God in yourself because He's speaking to you, and that thought, internal, that still, quiet voice is the voice of God. It's a beautiful thing. But this is an acquired art, a developed art. It's something that many people don't appreciate. They are running around so busy, and prayer to them is they bring their list of requests to God and they say, I think I got 5 minutes. And you go through your request and you do say thank you and you kind of get it done, and that was good. You checked off prayer today. But you know, we miss the experience unless we develop the ability to encounter His presence in prayer. Now, if I were to tell you, if I could give you just a 1, 2, 3 simple step answer, wouldn't that be nice? It'd be nice if the church could create a prayer pill. Take this and your hearing will be perfect. Or I could give you a certain position. Well, let's see, if you get on your knees you know what it is? We know what it is. What is it really a matter? You know what it's a matter of? It's a matter of the heart. How much do you want to hear? There's a song. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that He gives to me within my heart is ringing. And He walks with me, and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's the way it's meant to be. I don't want prayer to be a guilt trip for people. I want them to do this. Taste and see. The Lord is good. And when you tasted something good, it creates in you a hunger for another bite. I want more of that. Tres leches is something I look for. I don't see it very often around here either, by the way. Hint, hint. So, when you had something so good, then you want it again. It's like those who love fishing. There are times when fishing, it is just amazing. You throw it out there and then there it is. That experience, that fish or those fish, the water lights up and it is fantastic. But let me ask you, is it that way every time? If you're really good, if you're a really, really good fisherman, it's more often than not. But why do men still go fishing if they don't always catch fish? Because they've tasted the thrill and the joy of the encounter. And when you taste the goodness of God, when you taste the sweetness of hearing His voice, you want to hear again. And there are times that I can be busy myself and my frequency is a little off and I'm not hearing, but I don't quit praying. I just admit that, well, I don't know if I entered the Spirit today. I may not have made it just well. Prayer in this encounter with God, this relationship with God, is a process of development. Your own spirit will need to grow in sensitivity. And as it grows in sensitivity, more and more often you will sense God speaking to you through your inner man. And and when this happens, the renewal, the spiritual living water from this encounter begins to grow. Because I kind of put it this way, back to that person that says, well, why don't I feel Him or hear Him? I've tried to pray. It just doesn't seem to get me anywhere. Well, remember the vision? It's very important that the vision was specific. 1,000 cubits into the river, and how deep was it? Just barely getting his feet wet. He had to walk another 1,000 cubits, and then it's up to his knees. He had to keep walking another 1,000 cubits, and then it was waist deep. And then after walking another 1,000 cubits, 4,000 cubits now, suddenly he can't even keep his feet on the soil. He's got to swim because it's become a river. Now, why does a river get bigger? Why does a river get bigger? Why does a river suddenly have more volume of water than it had before? Because more water is being added to it. Tributaries are contributing to the volume of water. Other springs are adding to the water. And the more the water is, the deeper, the bigger the river is. And spiritual understanding, the Greek word is sunesis. Sun is the prefix for with, and asis is the noun form of the word estimi, means to stand. To stand with. Spiritual understanding is the place where God's thoughts and our thoughts come together into one thought. And you know how you hear the voice of God? You're going to hear the voice of God in your own thought. But it's His thought guiding yours. And it will be true. And it will be right. And He will be giving you wisdom. It will be bringing you counsel. It will be bringing you direction and protection and comfort. It won't need to be some dynamic external thing. It's a quiet internal presence that you will learn to cherish. Now, this question. When we continue deeper into the Spirit, what's going to happen? You see? First, you're just getting your feet wet. Well, you're going to keep walking in the Spirit? If you keep walking in the Spirit, your half of your legs are going to be wet. You keep walking in the Spirit, half of your body is wet. You keep walking in the Spirit, and eventually all of you is wet. Okay, you see the process? It's continual. Very similarly, let me ask you this question. What happens when an underground water system reaches capacity? Can't see it, it's underground. But because water is flowing into it and it reaches capacity and it fills up the space there, what happens? It becomes an artesian well. You know this well right here is just, I lived in southeast Missouri, Fredericktown, Missouri, and this well was about 20 minutes from my house. I have been there. And this well flows 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Now, when there's a lot of rain, that stack may get real tall from the pressure driving it up. And if it's real dry, it may shorten. But the source is coming out because pressure from within is causing it to bubble out. And when believers, when you and I learn to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know what's going to happen? Rivers of living water are going to begin to flow out of us. Amen. To nourish other people. That's why Paul said in Ephesians, always be being filled with the Spirit. Okay, and some people come to church to get filled. And they need that. And God wants you to be filled. But you know what? I so appreciate those of you who come to the church who are filled. I appreciate that. Because with those who come with a spirit in them springing up to be a blessing to others, that's a testimony. It's a testimony of God's presence. It's a testimony of His goodness. And isn't it wonderful that if you continue to be filled even after the Sunday service and after Sunday school, and you can go to work and you're being filled with the Spirit? Wouldn't your wife or your husband appreciate you being filled with the Spirit in your home? Would your co-workers, would they appreciate you being filled with the Spirit on the job? Look, when spiritual living water, when God's Spirit flows out of us because we have been encountering God in the place of prayer, when we're experiencing God and we're being filled, it's a process. If you're still needing to get filled, okay. You know what the end is. It's okay. That's where we start. Begin to be filled. And keep being filled until it begins to flow out. That's the process of renewal. What we'll need to do is you need to seek this. Seek it. And seek it because of this. Do not seek it because the pastor said you should. I hope you hear this. God is good. So if you encounter Him, what are you going to encounter? Goodness. God is wonderful. And when you encounter Him on the level of His Spirit, you will experience the wonder of that. That's the reason to seek it. Not because it's commanded. God wants to be known. He wants to make Himself known. And He will. It's a relationship that needs to be established and to be built. And you need to seek Him. And this is what the wonderful thing is. Jesus said this about seeking. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And He didn't stop there, did He? Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Remember one of the last things that the last church in Revelation? Remember, it's a sad picture. Why is it a sad? You know, we use it as an evangelistic tool. And I'm talking about that picture where Jesus is outside the door knocking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Well, it's kind of nice to use that as an evangelistic tool. But here's what's sad about that. The door represents the church. The people in the church are on the inside. Where's Jesus? He's on the outside. They shut him out of the church. He's not even there. But you know what? His heart is? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door, I will come in. And I'll have supper with him.
Amen.
And he with me. That's the heart of Christ. He wants to have fellowship with us. We're the ones who miss it. Let's don't turn it into something we ought to do. It's meant to be a wonderful thing. Amen? All right, let's pray.